We could. Okay, so hi there. I'm Jules from thestonesoup.com, and welcome to the first ever Stone Soup audio interview. Today I'm talking to Sarah Wilson, who has a background in traditional media as a journalist. And Sarah also has a blog, which she, a fabulous blog actually, really beautiful design, over at sarahwilson.com.au. And she's also the author of two fabulous ebooks as part of her I Quit Sugar series. So firstly, Sarah, welcome to Stone Soup. And I love both of your ebooks, the 8 week program and your cookbook. So I just wanted to, just for the listeners out there, what inspired you to quit sugar in the first place?
Well, I don't know if I was so much inspired. It was kind of partly a necessity.
Right.
Which is sometimes the best way to go about things is when you're forced to do things, being rendered choiceless. But there were two things. I have an autoimmune disease called Hashimoto's, and I write about that quite a lot in my blog. So people are quite familiar with that. And, every doctor and naturopath I spoke to said I should quit sugar. And I really didn't like the idea of this at all. Partly because one of the things when you have an autoimmune disease, it throws out your whole hormonal blood sugar levels, the whole thing. And so you're actually really addicted to sugar. And the idea of not having that those energy surges every day, all throughout the day, really frightened me. But then David Hockney's book, Sweet Poison, I came across that, and I was writing a column for Sunday Life magazine, one of the supplements in the news weekend newspaper. Each week I tried out a different thing, to make life better. And that was sort of the theme of my column was, I was this human guinea pig and, always looking for a new topic, I thought, I'll quit sugar, that can be my experiment for this week, and I'll write about it. And I stayed off sugar for 2 weeks to be able to sort of do the interview with David Gillespie. And it was fairly hard, and I do take these things seriously when I write about them. And so I actually, got some really quick results. I found myself, feeling a hell of a lot better and just clearer, and so much so I just didn't want to go back to eating sugar. I thought, well, listen, I'll see how this goes, and I'll keep going. And it just went and went and went. And what happened from there is I wrote about it in my Sunday Life column, which went on my blog, and then I wrote some extra things about it on my blog, and people kept on asking me questions, well, what about this, what about that, and so I'd answer in another blog post. And after a couple of months, people were like, well, how did you do it? What do you think works? And I'd become slightly obsessed, and I'd interviewed all the I'd read heaps of science on it. I was following a whole heap of commentators from over in the US. And I started to sort of go, okay, well, I think this works. And I was reading psychology stuff on how to quit, on addiction. I got a bit obsessed by it, I have to say. So I, formulated, I suppose, a program that I felt was the best way to get yourself off sugar. And again, it happened through just my experience and through necessity. I had to work it out for myself, and so I thought I'd share the information in my first ebook. So that's how it came about. And of course, people then were like, well, what are we meant to eat? And I was, posting a few photos of breakfasts I was making and various cakes I was making. I was just experimenting, and I'm a massive, massive eater. I have a huge appetite, always have had a huge appetite. And I cook a lot. So I just started, I'd have a bit of this in the kitchen, a bit of that, and I'd sort of create these treats and various meals, and before I knew it, I had over 100 recipes that I could share. So that's how the cookbook came about. So it's all been a little bit of happenstance, and also just being channeled down this sort of path. And then, of course, a publisher then sort of saw that obviously my ebooks were doing well, and they contacted me and said, look, we'd love to publish your material as what's called a p-book or a print book. Print book, which is sort of the two ebooks, the program and the cookbook combined with some extra recipes. That comes out January 22nd. It should be in most bookstores by January 24th. So it's been only a little over a year. But, yeah, that's been the cycle.
Wow, that's an awesome story. And you've really covered a lot in a year, Sarah. It's really inspirational.
I think it's been out 2 years, but it's, yeah, it's just a little over a year.
Wow, that's great. So delving into the books a bit, so you talk about fructose as being the real enemy, which I completely agree with, and, you know, my background's in food science, so I've studied a bit of nutrition. Yep. But can you explain for the Stone Sip listeners out there why fructose is something that we should avoid?
Yeah, no, it's probably the first thing to tick off with all of this is that, you know, when we're talking about sugar, we're talking about fructose, and everyday table sugar is 50% glucose, which is perfectly safe, and glucose is in most food, you know, it's you know, we need it for energy and all kinds of things, so that's fine. But the other 50%, of course, is fructose. Honey is about 40% fructose. Agave syrup's, you know, anywhere between 70% and 90% fructose, so very heavily fructose. But the problem with fructose is it's, many years ago, you know, sort of when we evolved, you know, when we evolved as we are today as humans, there was very little fructose on the planet. It was, you know, in a couple of very bitter berries, a little bit of honey when you could find it. It really was very scarce. Our bodies never developed the metabolic mechanisms to process fructose efficiently. So the problem with fructose is that it's basically the way it's metabolizing in our system is first of all, we don't have the hormones in our brains that tell us when we're eating fructose and when we've had enough of it. So, you know, when we eat, say, for instance, egg or, you know, some milk or whatever, our brains actually have corresponding hormones that tell us that we've eaten enough of it and that we're full and that's it. So, you know, you can't eat, I don't know, a litre of yogurt. You just can't, because your body will just go, oh my God, that much juice. We've seen it, you know. You know, fruit juice. We've seen people do it, and, you know, huge amounts of fructose in a litre of juice, and so people can get through a hell of a lot of it because there's just nothing going, hey, you know, we've had enough, let's stop. the second thing is that our livers or our bodies just can't actually process the fructose once it's in our bodies. So unlike other molecules where it's processed in the various cells throughout our bodies and it's broken down, blah, 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 fructose goes straight to our liver. Our liver just goes, oh, my God, I'm confused. I don't know what to do with this thing because it's foreign. You know, I don't have the corresponding enzymes and so on, the metabolic processes. So it freaks out and stores fructose. I mean, it can process a small amount of fructose, but the bulk of it, which, you know, eating more than the amount of fructose containing half a piece of fruit, is stored as pure fat. And unfortunately, it's the worst kind of fat. It's the visceral fat that sits around our organs, as well as triglycerides, so, which everyone knows, you know, leads to cholesterol problems. On top of that, you know, with our liver in a state of confusion and dealing with what it thinks is a crisis, it then stores everything else's fat. So instead of metabolizing the, you know, wonderful fat and protein from the rest of your meal that you might be eating at the same time, it stores it as fat as well. So that then leads to all kinds of, weight issues, obviously. Yeah. Other metabolic syndromes. So, you know, as a result of the insulin spikes and all the kind of, it's this whole web, as you know, Jules, you know, of mechanisms that go, you know, kick off and start up and fire off when we eat something. And they're thrown into disarray, and it's a whole heap of reactionary, angry responses that cause health problems, and pretty much instantly. So much so that people who do fructose can actually reverse, you know, health complaints like diabetes and cholesterol issues within a couple of weeks or months, because our bodies can adjust pretty quickly, depending on how far gone you are. But, yeah, so fructose is the problem there. Then the final kind of, you know, point to add to this is that it's highly addictive. Now, some people say it's more addictive than cocaine and heroin. There's been a number of studies that have shown that. So, you know, when you've got a food that we can't stop eating, a food that then we can't, we don't have an off switch for it, so we don't even get full on it, and then a food that turns into instant fat, you know, I mean, that trifecta of issues just causes all kinds of problems. And a lot of people say to me, well, hang on, you know, sugar's natural, we've been eating it forever. Well, the point is we haven't. You know, even 100 years ago, but even 50 years ago, we ate very, very little fructose. Up until about 100 years ago, there was very little fructose in our diet. We would eat 1 kilo of sugar a year. Now we eat well in excess of 60 kilos of sugar a year. And, you know, a lot of it's in the form of that juice and soft drink that is the really high-intensity dumping of fructose into the liver. So that's the problem. In, you know, 10,000 years ago when we were cavemen, you know, running around the savannas, we could, you know, fructose was designed to be, you know, it was very rare. It was an instant source of fat. So that's why we were designed to binge on it, if you know what I mean. We're designed to binge on it because it was an instant source of fat back when we needed instant sources of fat. You know, but it was very rare. Now it's not. And the instant source of fat thing is probably just not something we want.
Right, exactly. Nobody wants instant sources of fat. So speaking of fat, my favorite step in the 8-week program is eat more fat. And I'll confess here, in a former life, when I was a food scientist, one of my first jobs was working at Kellogg, and at the time we were developing new products, and all the products, you know, it was in the 90s, so all the products, the brief would be for them to be low fat. And, you know, I was one of those evil people that was actually creating these low fat products. And the only way we could do it was to add sugar. And in particular, one product, you know, we actually had to add crystalline, so pure fructose to it, just to get a good texture and to get it to taste how we wanted it to taste. So, but I think, you know, that whole low fat concept is something that people still struggle to, like, there's a lot of people out there that still think that they should be eating low fat, that that's a healthy way to eat. So can you explain a bit from your perspective about why eating low fat isn't helpful for our waistlines?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, there's two aspects to it. First of all, exactly as you say, it's so interesting that you've had that first-hand experience. Low fat often means high sugar, because when they take the fat out, you've got to replace the texture and the taste with something
exactly. And protein's too expensive.
But it's easy, you know, it's addictive. I mean, tell me that, you know, Kellogg's and Nestle don't like the idea of adding an addictive substance to their food. So it's a very, very easy way to replace that texture, and they call it fullness of mouth feeling, you know, as well as, of course, the taste. The other thing is one of the big reasons why I say do not eat low-fat products when you're putting sugar. The second reason that I advise eating fat, you know, full-fat products, but just more fat in general, is because fat is satiating. Fat is, you know, when you take out these sugars, you've got to have something to replace it with. You know, I personally used to eat sugar because I wanted the treat factor. I wanted to be indulged a little. And, you know, humans are a lot like that. So replace that factor with something like cheese, coconut products. There's a whole range of things that you can swap to, you know, which are just, we kind of think of as bad food, but in fact, they are the perfect foods for quitting sugar. So like, as I say, they satiate. We've got the corresponding hormones and enzymes that tell us we're eating fat. And I can tell you, you have a piece of cheese after dinner and you will not be reaching back for more, you know, because our bodies just go, I'm satiated now. And the other thing is that fats are required for a whole range of things, particularly for women, you know. We need fat to for a whole lot of hormonal set up. But also if you're trying to sort of detox during this process, hopefully, and I recommend this, eating lots of green leafy vegetables. Now, a lot of those, vegetables contain vitamins that are fat-soluble only. So if you're not eating it with fat, you're not absorbing the full, gamut of those vitamins and minerals. So that's another thing to bear in mind. And that's why the Greeks and the Italians and our grandmothers put butter and oil on their vegetables, because it's the best way to eat them and to get the full nutrients. Our brains need fat. But the other thing is, fat is actually not going to make you fat, partly because you can't eat, you won't binge on it, you can't eat as much of it, but also because it's a complete misnomer that, in particular, saturated fat, which has got the really, really bad reputation, it's a complete misnomer that saturated fat makes you fat. In fact, it's quite the opposite. oil, which is actually a monounsaturated fat, it's a saturated fat, but it's a medium-chain fatty acid. I've written about this on my blog, and I'm sure you're familiar with it as well, Jules, is that it's actually a really, really good weight loss food. If you eat one or two tablespoons of coconut oil a day, it will have all kinds of great health benefits, but it will also really help with stabilizing the metabolism. So I've kind of answered the question from all different angles there, but hopefully it's kind of given you a good, fat is good message. The other thing I should just say is, people often say, well, why are we told that fat is bad? And then I sort of point out, well, it's kind of no coincidence that we're eating all this sugar at the same, we started eating all this sugar at the same time we're told fat is bad. And that's because this all happened in the 1960s and 70s. There was a bunch of scientists that were keen to find out what was causing heart disease. And they really didn't want to look at, for a whole range of political and economic reasons, they didn't want to acknowledge that sugar, our increased intake of sugar was responsible. So instead they turned their attention onto saturated fat. So they tried to prove that saturated fat was what was causing heart disease and cholesterol issues. Well, this is a long story, and I haven't got time to spell that.
We could be here for a long time, yeah.
might be aware of it. In fact, I've got the information on my site, and it's obviously in my ebooks as well. But essentially, those studies were incorrect. They released only seven, they studied 22 countries, they only released the data for seven of the countries. The data is not correct, and that's now been shown to be the case. So, in fact, this research that was, that this initial research way back in the 1960s and 70s, that informed us that, saturated fat is bad for us, is actually absolutely incorrect. And unfortunately, it's going to take a very long time for that damage, that damaging sort of incorrect information to be reversed. It's starting to happen in the US. The nutrition schools are onto it. The scientists are onto it. Even the food authorities, the FDA, is starting to acknowledge it. They're trying to change, that food pyramid we all grew up on.
Oh, yeah,
In America, well, that was designed based on this faulty research. We still work to that principle, that fat should be very, very small amount of intake, and what do you know, sugary carbohydrates, go for your life, at the bottom of the pyramid. That is all being questioned, pulled apart over in America. Australia hasn't quite got it yet. There's too many vested financial interests in keeping sugar and carbohydrates, as good food, and fat as bad food. And I come across it all the time. The Heart Foundation, the Australian Dietitians Association, they're all funded by Nestle and Kellogg's and a bunch of other sugar-laden companies. So that's often neat. I often need to explain that so that people kind of can see why this happened, why we were fed the wrong information, because it's hard to fathom, as you know,
absolutely,
that message is not right, yeah.
No, that's awesome, Sarah. Really, like, I love how you've explained it and gone into the history there. And I think that's kind of a really important part of helping people understand why we got to this point and also, you know, why it's wrong. So, Sarah, you obviously, like, man, you know a lot about this stuff. I really enjoyed talking to you today. And congratulations on the I Quit Sugar ebooks becoming p-books, print books. That's really exciting. So do you want to share a bit to the listeners about where they can, if they want to learn more about this, the best place for them to go?
Yeah, sure. If anybody wants to just check out my general blog information on the sugar stuff, just to get a bit of an overview, you can just go to my blog, sarahwilson.com.au, and you can also buy the ebooks there, the two ebooks. You can buy both for $29. And as of next, well, I think, yeah, you can pretty soon, in a day or two, you should also be able to pre-order the P-book as well, and we've got a couple of offers on the site for people who want to do that as well. So if you want to sort of get it sent to you as soon as it comes out, we're offering a deal where you get that and the e-book so that you can have the whole lot and use the information as you want to use it. But yeah, sarahwilson.com.au, and everything's pretty clear once you get there.
Great. Well, thanks for that, Sarah, and good luck with the launch.
Oh, absolute pleasure. Lovely chatting with you, Jules.
Yeah, you too. Bye. Okay.